Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Jabba here, and thanks for tuning into my Jabba's Movies podcast. One of my favorite animated films of all time is 2016's Sing, the story of Buster Moon, a hustling koala voiced by Matthew McConaughey, and his attempt to save his beloved theater with a singing competition. Buster is back in a brand new adventure, and as Matthew explains, the pair are kindred spirits.
Hey, welcome to the show. What does Matthew McConaughey, Little Mr. Texas, have in common the most with Buster Moon, the little guy from nowhere?
Hustle. Hustle, hustle, hustle.
Hustle.
You can dreaming the big dream is right on the money, but without the hustle behind it, it's just sort of like an inspiration without a landing. So hustle. Taking risks and saying, I'm going to go for that. And hell, I might not get it. Let's find out that, it might not happen, but let's try again. What's the worst that can happen? You know what I mean? Taking risk and hustle.
One of the big themes in the film is the difference between self-doubt and self-belief. For some people, it's a yawning chasm. For other people, it's just a crack. What's been the biggest source of your own self-belief?
My faith that it's not over when we leave this life. When I believe that, when I understand that, I'm really not afraid of dying. A lot of belief can come. You do a lot of living when you're not really afraid of dying. not looking to leave early, not looking to be foolish with my choices or misspend the currency I've built in my life or be foolish with family and things I've built. But at the same time going, hey, man, we're here for a blip. If we're lucky, 100 years, that's just a in the hands of time. What can we do over here? Let's give it a shot. What's the worst that can happen?
Well, you've already left a big legacy. You've also released, obviously, Green Lights, which is beside my bed. That's been quite startling, some of the revelations in that. Was that a really big step to put down so much of your life out into the public specter, the public sphere?
Well, I'd say it was more the biggest step was actually engaging with looking at it and putting it down for myself. That was the biggest thing because I'm not one that looks over my shoulder of anything I've done in my life. I don't like to look back. I like to look forward. So to go lock myself away with my journals of the past 40 years and say, we're going to sit down and look at that and really see what that meant was scary. But it ended up being awesome experience for me and really fun. So then to share it, wasn't as scary as the actual going back and looking at it for me to share. I was like, well, this is all subjectively my stories. And I think objectively people can get an understanding of an approach or a process to life that you can make your own. That's not mine, that you can go, oh, I see how I could get more satisfaction out of life. Maybe via how I've done it, maybe via how I've not done it, via my mistakes as well. So that's been a really fun response from the book. But the putting out of it was actually more like more freeing. That was more like, here you go. I mean, that this is the truest extension. Green Lights is the truest extension of me that I have out there in the world besides my children.
I feel like Buster is a kind of extension of you. We have to wrap it up, but I have to know, this has bugged me since the first film. Do they do anything to your voice? Is it pitch shifted? How do you arrive at the voice of Buster Moon?
No, that's me. I mean, that's Buster's always on the attack. He's on the front. My Matthew's voice is sometimes more of a colloquial sort of rhythmic Southern draw. That's not Buster Moon. Buster Moon's on the front end of everything, ending on the upside, not the downside. The upside, he's always on the attack, the optimism of moving forward, sort of that unstoppable, immobile force that keeps on moving, that gets down, you knock him down, he gets back up. And there's a resilience and an optimism that I leaned into for the voice.
I love it. Thanks for sharing that. We did what we came here to do. So all the best for the next year. Thanks, Matthew.
Happy Boxing Day and Merry Christmas.
I had to ask director Garth Jennings about his choice to cast McConaughey as a koala.
I loved the film so much. I had a great cry. I had so many laughs. I bopped along. I never understand why Matthew McConaughey was cast as a koala. It shouldn't work, but why does it?
Sheer force of personality. I've always loved the fact that there's this enormous personality in the smallest character in the film. I think he's literally this, out of all the main cast, he is by far the smallest. And I just love the fact that Matthew has that exuberance and that colour and that determination and it's in this tiny ball of fluff.
Did you ever explore the possibility of an Australian voicing a koala?
I've been asked that before, especially by my Australian relatives, who were almost offended that it wasn't an Australian. Why on earth isn't it Australian? I was like, well, hang on a minute. You weren't worried about all the other animals. You know, that this guy, if I was going to be true to the origin of these animals in our world, then, you know, they were like, well, we don't care about those. What about this koala? I was like, well, I think that's the end of the conversation after you said we don't, you know. So, no, for me, it was always like those animals are human caricatures. They are, you know, they're first and foremost, you know, personality types in animal form. And I wasn't worried about where in the world that, you know, that the pig might be German or, you know, the gorilla might be a Cockney British gorilla. Obviously, we don't have many gorillas in England, except in zoos, but no one was too worried about that.
That's a great answer. I appreciate that. I worked in music television between 1995 and 2004. So 1999 alone was pretty much all Garth Jennings. Coffee and TV, right here, right now, I'm pumping on your stereo. Do those three clips from you form some kind of blueprint for Sing?
I suppose they do, in that that was at the point where we'd been, myself and my two friends, Dom and Nick, we'd been making music videos together. And that was the point that year, like I was in like 98, 99, going forwards from there, where it all started to work. Like our ideas, we were able to realise them properly, and the songs we were being sent were our favorite songs, and that love of the music and those ideas started to coalesce in a way that was really exciting. It's like, oh, we can pull this off now. And so there's definitely a sense of that being the beginnings of, you know, combining my desires and for a film like Sing, you need to have that love of those things, the visuals and the characters, but also the music, and it has to feel like you can't separate them.
Absolutely. I absolutely love the films. We're into our last question. What are you, the films are so beautiful. What are you proudest of for giving the world? And what's your big message in Sing and in Sing 2?
I'm super proud of the feeling you get at the end of the film. I've shown it now to maybe a dozen audiences, quite big, from in all different countries. And there's this amazing feeling. There's this joyous, uplifting feeling at the end. And I feel like, who could want for more? This is called Sing, you know. It's like it should be aiming for that, and I feel like in general it feels like it's doing what we hoped it would do, and that's as good as it gets.
I love it. It's one of my favorite films of the year, in fact, ever. Please keep up the great work. I absolutely loved it, and all
it's
the best for 2022.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also returning as the voice of Mina is Tori Kelly, and as the voice of Ash, Scarlett Johansson.
What time is it over there?
Yeah.
It is Vegemite o'clock. Nice. Tori, you've been here. You sang happy birthday to my daughter for the first film, yeah. So we love you. Aww. Scarlett, we love you as well. Beautiful film. And Scarlett, there's a great line from Ash in the film. She comes off stage. She's handed a light envelope as payment for her performance on behalf of my own 14-year-old daughter. Thank you, Ash, for arguing for equal pay. How important is that line amongst all the feel-good things that happen in Sing 2?
I think that's what it's, when you go in to see the movie, it says, champions for equal pay, Sing 2.
That's the main, yeah.
That's the main takeaway.
The main theme. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people think
line,
it's like finding courage, finding your own voice. It's actually equal pay. Yeah, that's what the movie's all about. And Universal is behind that message as well. They've also promised equal pay as part of the package.
Did you come up with that line, or that was just in the script and you were like, bingo, I'm good?
I just say the words in front of me.
Okay. So it's fine for us to carry placards into the cinema. That's the matter, right? If it blocks anyone's view. Yeah. I love it. Hey, Scarlett, you obviously nailed a couple of songs in the first film, but you too, wow, that's a big call. How daunting is that to tackle a U2 song?
I really didn't think about it because I'd been in isolation for so long that to me, it was like, oh yeah, okay, I haven't seen another adult in a while. I was just singing singing Stuck in a Moment in the car at the top of my lungs, and I just kind of rolled up to the recording. I see Garth Jennings, our director, also virtually, still have not come into contact with another adult in a long time. We kind of talk through it, do the recording. Then I didn't really think that much of it until I heard the actual finished, composed whole song with Bono and then the orchestration. And I was like, oh, wow, this is where people are going to hear this. So, yeah.
It was, like, not real when we were doing it.
Yes.
Well, for you, I mean,
it is built,
you sang with Bono, that's different.
It does feel not real, yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Surreal. Very surreal.
It's such a big moment. Tori, you went even further. In the first film, of course, you busted out Leonard Cohen and Stevie Wonder. Now Prince and U2. Does it take any convincing to tackle huge artists like that?
Yeah, I had to think about it when they said I was doing a Prince song. I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. No, it didn't take much thought at all. I was like, wow, I get to sing a Prince song. I sing also Aretha Franklin's Say a Little Prayer with Pharrell, and it's just too many dreams. It's just like, what am I doing? You know, it's just one of those things. I agree. It was like going into it, you're just like, this isn't real. This is just like a game. It's just, we're just having fun. It's make believe. And then when you see it all come together, you're like, wait, what did I do? So it's pretty awesome to see, you know, all the hard work that went into this film and then finally see it at the end of it.
It's brilliant. I love it. I laughed. I cried. Are you guys proud of it? And do you cry when you watch it?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it on Sunday at the premiere.
Yeah,
I'm saving myself.
I couldn't wait
for the in-person experience. But the first one, yeah, I sobbed.
Yeah, you'll cry.
I cry. I'm like a basket case, so yeah. I cry at the drop of that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait for Aussies to see it here for Christmas and across summer. Can't wait to see you guys in the flesh again, down under or anywhere around this crazy planet. Thanks so much for your beautiful gift, and see you in 2022.
See you then.
See ya. Thank you.